The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Please stand with us, wave your palm as we worship our Savior.
To the King of glory and life, our praises to your Giver of life, our Maker, the gates are open wide, we worship you. Oh, come and see when love has come. Amazing, he bought us with his blood. Our Savior, the cross is overcome. We worship you. Oh, we shout today. We shout, Hosanna. Jesus, he saved. We shout, Hosanna. He rose from the grave. Now let the lost be found, forgiven. Death could not hold him down. He's risen. So let the saints cry out. We worship you. We worship you.
We shout, Hosanna. Jesus, he saved. We shout, Hosanna, he rose from the grave. Come and lift him up, Hosanna.
Oh, the same power that rolled the stone away. The same power alive. Today, King Jesus, we call upon your name.
No one
we shout
name.
Hosanna!
We shout Hosanna! Jesus, he saved. We shout Hosanna! He rose from the grave. Come and lift him up,
Hosanna!
Shout Hosanna! Jesus, he saved. We shout Hosanna, he rose from the grave. Come and lift him up, Hosanna.
Come and lift him up, Hosanna. Coming on the cloud,
kings and kingdoms will bow down.
And every chain will break, as broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chain, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before him. Let's open up the gates today. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. Our God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? For God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain.
slain. In the sin of the world, it's by grace to change. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him. There's no one who can stop our King Jesus.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Oh, sing it out today! Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? No one. Who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's warring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb. Was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chain. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him.
Comes in the name of the Lord. Y'all may be seated.
Hi, it's your neighbors, Jim and Joanna Sanders.
Yeah, we made you some Easter eggs.
We sure did.
Yeah.
Hey, since you're the man of the house, I want to come talk to you mano e mano.
Oh. See what he did there? You're amazing.
Play on words. Whoa. Just take a minute. I don't want to take away from that pagan golf tournament that you're probably watching in there. But it did hit me when I saw the trashy secular Easter decorations that you have outside your house that you probably don't go to church to worship our Lord and Savior except for Christmas and Easter, like 68.7% of the rest of the American population.
Oh, you're my little map whiz.
None for the neighbors. Stay on track.
Well, the reason why we're here is because we wanted to invite you to our Easter services at our church. Now, I've made the plan of salvation into these Easter eggs here, and each color represents something you've done wrong.
Sure does. Whoa, he's flatlining. Whoa. What my dear wife is trying to say, when we leave on a Sunday morning to go to church, your car stays out in the driveway, which makes me know that you probably don't go to church unless you're holding a church service in there or something, but I don't think so. So how about you pack up your brood and you come with us to church service on Easter Celebration Sunday, huh?
Okay, sure. I mean, my wife and I were just talking about where we would go this Easter, so sure, we'll give your church a shot.
Houston, we have a problem.
What's the matter?
No one's ever said yes to us before.
Oh, what do we do?
Well, we just back away slowly. All right. Okie dokie. Okay, don't look at him in the eye. He could take away your soul.
Okay, all right. We'll just leave the eggs in the mailbox.
We sure will.
Now, the big red one represents your sin. It's the sin egg.
All righty. We hope to see you there. We'll save you a seat, okay?
Really?
No, that's just an intimidation tactic. Okay, toodles.
Good morning. It's good to see you all here. Hey, if you look on your chair, you'll see some brightly colored Easter invites. We want these not to stay here. We want you to take them now. Go ahead and put them in your Bible or in your purse or something. We want you to use these. Unfortunately, parts of that video are true. Hopefully, that's not your way of reaching out to your neighbors, okay? We'll have serious problems if that's the case. But we do want you to reach out to your neighbors, your coworkers. Next week is going to be an amazing day as we celebrate the resurrection of our God and King. And we want you to come back. We know it's going to be a great day. We've got over 4,000 Easter eggs ready for an awesome Easter egg hunt that's going to happen after our second service. Heather, thank you for numbering all those personally. Let's hear it for Heather. Yes, yes, let's hear it for Heather. And for all of you who contributed towards those thousands and thousands of eggs, thank you so much. It's going to be a great day as we celebrate the most important day in really our history, and that is the day where Jesus himself conquered sin and death and took our sins upon himself, and in victory rose again on that third day. And we're going to celebrate that together. There are two holidays a year where people statistically are more receptive to being invited and saying yes to church, and that is Christmas and Easter, and Easter's next week. So we want you to take these cards. Don't leave them on your chair. Take these cards. If there's nobody sitting next to you, take those cards as well. Invite your neighbors, coworkers, friends, loved ones to come and hear about our amazing Savior. I also want to let you know we've got an amazing outreach event coming up in May, and today is an informational meeting. If you have been a part of our free sales in the past, or would like to be a part of our free sale in the future, we're going to be sharing some information with you immediately following this service. Today is going to be a really different kind of service, and so we hope you are open to the movement of God's Spirit. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But next week is going to be awesome. We're kicking off a new series. Here's a little clip kind of getting you ready for that series. So next week, we'll kick off this series, Love Like Jesus, and we're going to look at the greatest love, act of love ever shown when God himself became one of us, and he who was sinless became our sin and took our place. We're going to be looking at this story over the next month. I encourage you to not just invite your friends to Easter, but if they are interested in knowing who Jesus is and how much he truly loves us, that you'd encourage them to come back for the following month as we dive into what love really looks like. Over 2,000 years ago, a crowd, much like ours today, gathered together. They took palm branches, and the reason they took these branches is because it was a symbol when somebody of a significant importance or a king would ride into a city in honor of that king, they would raise and wave palm branches like we have been doing today. What's really interesting is these people, they wanted a king. The Jews wanted to be set free from the Roman rule and the Roman Empire. They wanted to have their lands back. They wanted to be able to continue to practice the religion the way they saw fit. And Jesus came to establish a kingdom, but it was a little different than the kingdom they were hoping for. And many of those who were raising these palm branches on that Palm Sunday a week later were yelling, "Crucify him." Today, we're going to have a unique experience, and my hope is that the Holy Spirit would touch your heart as we look at the last week of the life of Jesus, the week of him going from being praised to being raised and crucified in our place. The ways that God moved in the hearts of many, I pray he'll move in our hearts today. As we look at that last week and the beautiful unfolding of love demonstrated for us. So today, as our worship team leads us and members of our church lead us through some readings and some special reflective moments, my hope is that your heart would be open to see the beauty of love in this dark time that unfolded a little over 2,000 years ago. As our ushers come forward, I want to encourage you that as we think about giving back to Jesus, that it wouldn't just be writing a check or putting a few dollars in an offering plate. It would be realizing that Jesus was the first to give to us. When he sacrificed his life, nobody killed Jesus. He gave up his life in our place. But when he gave that up, he demonstrated for us the greatest act of love ever shown. The scriptures say that no greater act has anyone than this, than to lay down his life for a friend. But God goes even deeper and says that while we were his sinners, while we were enemies, he laid down his life for us. As we reflect on that, let us not only give back in an act of offering or in Sunday morning worship, but asking God, how can I give you my whole life? How can I give you all of me in response to what you've given for me? Father God, I pray for our offering at this time that you would take what we give back to you. But it wouldn't just stop here with us putting something in a basket, but God, that we would consider that each day that we live, we would learn to love and to give and to live like you. God, you gave up everything, and you call us to that same life, being willing to give up everything, to follow you, to live for you, so that others will come to know your love and know what it means to live for you. Jesus, thank you for giving up everything for us and dying in our place. In your name we pray. Amen.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross of so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. And the whole earth trembled, and the nail was torn. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, the Lord of all.
All my hope is found in you.
Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, the Lord of all.
Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat Passover?" Jesus said to them, "Go into the city to a certain man. Say to that man, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, Jesus reclined at the table with the 12. And as they were eating, Jesus said to them, "Truly, I say to you, one of you betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" Jesus answered them, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" Jesus said to him, "You have said so." Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And Jesus took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples and told them, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. I tell you, I will not drink again this fruit of this vine until the day when I drink it new with you, my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away. You will fall away because of this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered Jesus, saying, "That they all will fall away from you. I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I must die, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. We invite you to come to the communion stations on my left and my right to participate in this meal that Jesus inaugurated during the Passover before he was crucified. These words that Jesus spoke tell us the significance of the bread and the cup. And as you come and hold that bread, it was broken the same way that Jesus broke it the first time they had communion together, his followers. And likewise, as you dip that bread in the cup, know that it is in the same way that Jesus himself instructed his disciples, that through the bread and the cup, we hold and touch and taste the significance of Jesus' forgiveness of our sins. So when you're ready, come, take the bread, hold it, dip it in the cup, and taste it, and know the forgiveness that Christ gives to you.
Of ages, clear for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and at which floor be for sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labor of my hand can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Make it come to thee for dread. Helpless look to thee for grace. Bow thy to the fount I fly. Wash me, Savior, or I'll die. Wash me, Savior, or I'll die. Wash me, Savior, or I'll die. While I draw fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on the throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let me hide myself in thee. Let me hide myself in thee.
Grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, "Sit here while I go and pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little farther and fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. He cried out, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned and found the disciples asleep. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus left them again and prayed the same prayer as before. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't know what to say. When he returned to them the third time, he said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But know, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here. And immediately, even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders. The traitor Judas had given them a prearranged signal. You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss. Then you can take him away under guard. As soon as they arrive, Judas walked up to Jesus. Rabbi, he exclaimed, gave him the kiss. Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him.
Man of sorrow, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed, the sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus' laid. Silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, he took the crown of thorns. And all that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. And now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee.
Then Jesus was brought before Pilate. Those gathered began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation, forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ the King." So Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, Galilee, even to this place." Pilate then said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas," the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him."
Were you there when they nailed him to the tree?
causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree?
They were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked. But he delivered Jesus over to their will. Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right, one on his left. One of the criminals railed against him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. This man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. The curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did such love and sorrow so rich a crown.
my soul, my life, my all.
I was going into the city to celebrate the Passover, and he was being let out of the city as a Passover lamb. But we didn't understand that. When I got to Jerusalem, it wasn't what I expected. There was like 10 times more people there than the last time that I'd been there to celebrate Passover, and it just seemed like the whole city was angry, like just mobs of angry people. And all of a sudden, this guard, the soldier, he grabs me. And I mean, he literally just pulls me out of the crowd, and he says, "For me to carry this guy's cross." If this guy's blood gets on me, it stains me, and I can't celebrate the Passover. That's the whole reason I was there. It was hard to see the man through the blood. And then our eyes met. And I knew this man was not a liar. He was not a crazy man with grand ideas. He was the Messiah. I carried what I could, but he carried most of it. We began to walk. I heard the insults that they shouted at him and now at me. I felt the spit. I felt his blood on me. They'd taken a crown made of thorns, and then they smashed it on his head, and blood ran into his eyes. They laid him out on a cross, and they nailed his hands and his feet to it. And they lifted it up. And he had all of his weight on that one spike through his feet. And he would push up with all of his might and gasp for a breath to stay alive. I couldn't watch it. He did that for hours. I couldn't watch it. And I looked down, and I remember seeing my hands. My hands were stained with his blood, the blood that I thought would make me unclean. And I realized it's the blood that makes me clean. He breathed his last breath, and he died. And that was the day that I helped Jesus carry. That was the day that I helped Jesus carry my cross. He hung and died on my cross.
As we take time to remember and to reflect on what Christ did for us in our place, the scriptures teach us that he who never sinned became our sin. When he allowed himself to be crucified, it is our sin, not the nails that held him on that cross. It is his love for us that he demonstrated by taking our sin upon himself to offer us forgiveness. The scriptures tell us that as his blood was shed, it didn't flow to stain us and make us unclean, but as we just heard, the scriptures say that though your sins be as scarlet, they will be washed white as snow. As God himself became flesh, in the life of Jesus, as Jesus laid down his life for us in our place on this cross, he took our sins upon himself to offer us an opportunity to offer us forgiveness, to offer us a place in his family forever. In a moment, I'd like you to just think about what that means for each of us. I think about Christ on the cross. I think about my sins upon himself. And over these next few moments, I want to encourage you to take that piece of paper that's on your chair and that pencil. And whether it's simply a word or a sentence or a paragraph, that you would reflect on what Christ did for us in our place, that you would write on that piece of paper that sin that he bore upon himself. He already took our sins upon ourselves, and all we have to do, the scriptures say, is confess, to agree with God about our sinfulness, to agree with God about our brokenness. And the scriptures say that when we come to a place of believing in him and confessing our sins, that he is faithful and that he is just and that he is willing to cleanse us and forgive us from all unrighteousness. And so after we say a prayer together in a moment, I want to invite you, as you feel led and as you feel ready, to come up and to approach this cross and to take this hammer and one of these nails, and that you would leave behind here that which Jesus already bore on himself as an act of confession and remembrance of saying, thank you, Jesus, for taking my place on that cross, for dying for my sins to set me free. For some of you, this may be the first step you've ever taken of understanding that Jesus came to die for you as your Savior and your Lord. And my hope is that as you come to this symbolic cross here, that the Holy Spirit will touch your heart and enter your life and begin to make you new. The scriptures say that if we believe that Jesus died in our place, if we confess our sins to him, that he will save us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And this morning, as you come and leave behind the brokenness and the sin, that you would receive his love, his grace, and forgiveness, and meet him in this moment. Father God, I pray that you meet each and every one of us at this time. As your word teaches us, God, you are light, and in you there is no darkness at all. If we come to you and walk in the light as you are in the light, it is in that moment that we will experience forgiveness and fellowship with you and with one another. And your blood, Lord Jesus, will cleanse us from all sin. But God, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we come to you and confess our sins, you are faithful and just and will offer us complete, unconditional love and forgiveness of our sins. So, Lord, as we come to you now, take us as we are, broken, Take our confessions and let us remember what you did for us in our place. And let us walk away made clean and new in you. I invite you to come to the cross now as you feel ready. Pick up a hammer and nail. And as others have already done before you, you leave this at the cross. Come as you feel ready.
Stars they wept, morning sun was day, the Savior of the world was fallen, his body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. Final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness.
As we prepare to leave this day, let us not simply go on without remembering what Christ did for us in our place. We invite you to stay as long as you need to pray, to reflect, to sit here in silence. Let us leave this place in remembrance of what Christ did for us, out of love for us, so that we could now live and love for Him. You're welcome to stay as long as you'd like, but when you're ready, please leave quietly and in silence. See you next week.